I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, as he does every Monday at about this time, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Obviously, we'll talk about the incident in D.C. specifically because you worked protective detail for Trump, for Reagan, back when you were in the Air Force. But before we get to that, we had a horrible tragedy took place in Milton, rural Milton, over the weekend with a terrible traffic crash, right?
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. Two people got ejected from the vehicle and died pretty much on scene. And, you know, our deputies are the first ones to get there, and then we call FHP and they get there and investigate the accident. But, you know, getting ejected nowadays, it's terrible. I mean, you got to wear your seatbelts. I mean, you really do, and you need to instill that in your children as well as they're growing up, that you just, you know, if the vehicle's moving, the seatbelt's on.
Do you happen to know in this case, because it was a pickup truck, is my understanding, do we know whether they were sitting, you know, like in the cab, in the back, in the truck bed? Yeah. I mean, obviously there are, you know, different levels of safety involved in that, but do we even know?
No, I was not told where they were at in the vehicle, just that they got ejected. Okay. And, you know, and if being a pickup truck, yeah, you don't ride in the back of a pickup truck. I mean, if you're going from one part of your land to another, you know, and you got the kids in the back and you know you're not going to get over 5 miles an hour or whatever, that's one thing. But being on an actual roadway with other drivers and stuff, you can't have kids in the back. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, just a horrible, horrible incident. And, you know, like you said, I always think it's odd because to me, I can't get in a car and not put a seatbelt on. I mean, always.
Yeah,
to me it's
either.
So habitual.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 40 years almost. And it's, you know, it's impossible not to. But that's the kind of habit that, you know, you have to form. And I know not everybody does. And, you know, sometimes that has catastrophic consequences. There was another one in Santa Rosa not that long ago where it was this teenage driver kind of blew through the stop sign in a semi-rural residential area and, you know, wound up killing somebody driving an SUV and a child wasn't wearing a seatbelt, you know?
Yeah. And it's nowadays, you know, with all the safety features in the vehicles and stuff and the reminders, that bell going off, you know, I mean, there's really no excuse not to have a seatbelt on nowadays.
Absolutely. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the, obviously, the, you know, what took place in Washington, D.C., which, thank God, obviously, the president and no members of the media, no leadership in, you know, the government were injured. Even the only person who seems to have been injured was a Secret Service officer who was shot, but thank God was wearing a vest. I want to play comments from Jeff Carroll, who is the interim D.C. chief for D.C. Metro, and then Sean Curran, who is a Secret Service director. I just want to get your reaction to this.
But at this point, it does appear he is a lone actor, a lone gunman. There does not appear to be any sort of danger to the public at this time. This is a very preliminary investigation at this point. We do know that law enforcement exchanged gunfire with the individual. We do know that a U.S. Secret Service uniformed division officer was struck in his vest. He was transported to a local hospital for treatment. He seems to be in good spirits at this time. The suspect in this case, he was not struck by gunfire. However, he was transported to a local hospital to be evaluated.
Tonight, we saw exactly what our brave men and women do each and every day to protect our protectees. It's not easy, and I will tell you that they performed admirably.
Okay, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's a weird scenario. Number one, thank God the guy was wearing a vest. He caught the bullet in the vest. That's a good thing. But how this guy doesn't get struck by gunfire when you have like 20 Secret Service people there, he should be dead. So I don't know what transpired after the initial shot. The officer got shot, but I don't know how he wasn't killed. So I don't know the whole story. But everybody's saying the Secret Service, you know, dropped the ball or whatever. That was an outer perimeter thing, and this guy was staying at the hotel, so he had access to the hotel, but the outer perimeter caught it. It wasn't like he got into the ballroom, you know, where everybody was at. So they did their job. Like I said, I don't understand how they didn't kill him, but I guess that'll come out later.
Well, and see, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because, you know, a lot of what I know or believe about these sorts of incidents is from you, because you used to work detail for Reagan. And I totally agree with you that this was not a failure He did not get inside the ballroom. The president's life was never in danger.
Correct.
You know, they barely penetrated the outer perimeter, the weakest layer of defense, in a situation where it's hard to really harden it, and he was inside the hotel as a guest. So no problem with all of that. The part that I was befuddled by was the same part you did. Like, I've seen the video. These Secret Service agents, I mean, they were maybe not the most attentive after they had processed the bulk of people probably, and they didn't figure anybody else was coming. That was not great. But then they draw their weapons and they fire, and the group of them can't manage to hit one guy. I mean, I know a running target at a distance. Okay, fine. But your job is to be good at this, and this is not the first time the Secret Service has failed to be good marksmen.
Yeah, and which is pretty scary because back in the day, and of course, this is 82 to 86 when I was in the Air Force with the Secret Service. We assisted them a lot, and, you know, they had marksmen back then. I don't know what's going on with training now, but back then they could they were the best marksmen I'd ever seen because we'd shoot with them on the range and stuff, and they were incredible. But also, you even great marksmen, when bullets are flying towards you, sometimes, you know, the best marksmen aren't the best marksmen under that kind of pressure. So it all depends on what's going on around you. But still, yeah, I agree. I mean, that guy should have been dumped right there. And I guess we'll find out later why he wasn't. But that was just amazing to me.
Yeah, the whole thing was baffling. You know, how he was able to run through and get through, how he was able to not get struck by several agents firing at him, and then how the resolution to all this is that the dudes down the hall or whatever managed to tackle him, you know, instead of shooting him, which why is your first response to a guy with a shotgun and a gun just, and he's running and he's clearly breached the perimeter and people are yelling and screaming and there's bullets and you're tackling a dude? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird sheriff, you know, any other thoughts you had about this? Again, I mean, I thought it was a success. I think the idea that they have to do something dramatically different to protect the president, probably not, although maybe range time, you know, might be useful.
Yeah. Yeah, range time and shooting under pressure, you know, time shooting, things like that. And, you know, back in the day, as I said before, they did all that time shooting and, you know, yelling at you things. They put things on the range to distract you while you're trying to fire, move and shoot and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what kind of training they're having now, but it ain't working.
You know, and the other, I was oddly a little disappointed in some of the interior defenses, you know, agents all throughout the room, plainclothes agents, the ballistic shields that have been now disclosed were kind of underneath the table that, you know, I felt like, you know, we don't need to know all that. We don't need to tell people what the, you know, this guy didn't get past the outer layer, not really. And here we are telling people what our tactics are inside the room that he didn't even get into. Like, just shh. You don't need to tell anybody.
But apparently they feel the need. And I don't understand. There's a lot of things going on up there I don't understand. But it is what it is, yes.
Any other thoughts that I want to not let this go without having you a chance to say anything. But anything else you observed or anything else you think people ought to know or, you know, just in general about, you know, keeping people secure. You know, the president's, his comments were basically, look, this is not new. This has gone on for a long time. It's relatively unique for this president compared to others. But, I mean, your protectee, you know, was also, of course, shot at that that hotel, you know, not under your watch. But, you know, right? I mean, that's you have a pretty good connection to all of this.
Yeah. And all I can say is, you know, this EDS is real. I mean, it obviously it's real. There are people who want to kill him just because of who he is. And it amazes me. It really does, that the Secret Service isn't stepping up their protection a little bit better. But like I said, we'll find out why he didn't get dumped later on, I guess.
What do you make of, I was dumbfounded, honestly. I mean, I guess I'm too naive about where I set the bar for my expectations for people, but I was completely unprepared for the number of anti-Trump people on social media, not just theorizing that maybe this was a fabricated incident or some kind of false flag, but they literally are so convinced it was that they think you're stupid if you thought this actually happened. Even the MS Now hosts had to basically say, what's wrong with you people? You know, like the level of derangement among some of his critics is just baffling to me.
Oh, yeah. And it only seems to be getting worse, which is amazing to me that, you know, you've got these people out there that start looking at it.
We lost you a little bit on the cell phone there. Oh. I don't know if you're in Jay or anything.
Can you hear me now?
But that's what we're going to say. What'd you say, Sheriff?
No, I said that the amount of people who hate Donald Trump is incredible. And don't get me wrong, you know, I didn't like Obama and I didn't like Clinton, and you know, but I never would I espouse some of the things these people are saying and doing in the United States. It's just, to me, it's incredible. It blows my mind every time something comes up. You're like, again, really?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And I totally agree. The level of criticism of, it's an American thing, you know, to hate our leaders and to criticize them and to make fun of them and to be savage about it. True.
Yeah.
But there is a whole other level with Trump, and there is a whole other level of denial for responsibility for it by, in my opinion, my industry that has fostered the environment and done nothing to combat it. And, you know, you're getting the results, whether it's impeachments or assassination attempts. And you're acting like you're not to blame at all. It's just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Very. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for spending time with us. I appreciate it. Certainly, I appreciate your service back in the day and now as well. Sheriff Johnson, we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
All right. Take care, Andrew.